Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Good morning. Am I on? You can hear me? Oh, good. Okay. I can't hear myself, so I didn't know. Well, like Steve said, Pastor Doug and Tasha are out of town this week, so it's my turn up to bat, right? So hopefully I won't strike out today. I got to tell you something. Not yesterday, but the Saturday before that, I started putting my PowerPoint together and just kind of put some thoughts down, and it wasn't like completed or anything, but I had the whole, most of the message, the outline of the message down. And I came to church last Sunday and Steve preached my message. Now, that told me that maybe y'all need to hear that twice. Because I think it's a little odd for God to give me the exact same message that he gave Steve if we didn't need to hear it. I mean, he knew when I was speaking. He'd already started speaking to me about it. So I thought that was interesting. I told Steve, I sent him a text, and I said, "You preached my message this morning." I was real upset. I said, "Don't ever do that again." No, I didn't. No. No. But I told him, I said, it was already going to come about it in a different direction from a different way. So it wasn't going to be the exact same message. But you know what? If you didn't get it last week, then really pay attention because God gave it to us twice. So there's something going on. I'm going to give you a little, review of Steve's message. Remember he held up the remote control, which caused a lot of issues, by the way. But he held up the remote control, and he was telling us that we have things playing in our mind, right? Some of us good, some of us bad. But we have the ability to change the channel. Just like we have a remote control, we can change the channel of what's going on in our mind. And there are times when the enemy puts stuff in there we don't need to have in there. He can drop thoughts in our mind. And it's up to us whether we just go with it, or whether we say, no, we're not going to do that. So we have that ability. So you are in control of your mind, okay? Let's go to the first slide here. So I'm asking you who you're going to believe, because the devil tells us things and God tells us things. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the lie, or are you going to believe the truth? And I started to title this true or false, but I thought, no, it's who are you going to believe? You've got to decide what the truth is. So, you know, we have a picture here of see that little kitty? Thinks it's a lion. And it says what matters most is how you see yourself. And I would argue with that that's not true. Because what matters most is how God sees you, not how we see ourselves. I had an associate at my job who I had already had to counsel because she was rude to people. And so I'd gotten another complaint. I actually gotten three, so I had four altogether. So it was time for the paperwork, you know, to write up and have that discussion. And so as I'm telling her, you know, I keep getting complaints that you're rude to people. And she said, well, you're just taking their word for it. And I said, well, you know, if four people tell me I'm acting a certain way, and it's all consistent, and they're four totally different people, then I need to look at myself and see, what am I doing? Because I'm doing something wrong. There's something I'm putting out there that's making people think I'm rude. So I said, you know, my expectation is that every person who leaves this place has a great customer service experience. And I said, you've got to do that. That's something that we are striving for. And I can't have somebody being rude to patients. So, you know, she didn't believe me. I'm not rude. You know, it never got anywhere. She signed the paper. So there we go. But, you know, we've got to have a realistic view of ourselves. And we do have to examine ourselves from time to time and say, you know, am I really this way? I mean, I don't care if it's one person that comes up to you and says, I think you're rude, you know, or I think you're this or that. I mean, it may be not founded at all, but isn't it worth saying, Lord, am I that way? You know, can you help me? Show me what I'm doing. Show me how I'm not that way. The Holy Spirit does not leave us high and dry. He will let us know if we need to change something. The question is, are we listening? So it's not about how you see yourself, though. It's about how God sees you. We need to ask God to show us ourselves through his eyes. You know, how do you see us, Lord? And then the next little thing says, surround yourself with those who see greatness in you. And that can be dangerous as well. That's how people with no talent end up on American Idol, right? That's exactly how that happens. Because people just tell them they're wonderful, even if they're not. But you don't want to surround yourself with people either who tell you you're cruddy all the time. I mean, you know, let's have nice friends who are there and tell you if you mess up, they'll say, you know what, I think I'm your friend and you know that, but I think you really need to improve on this or that. You know, you do this great, but you know, over here you need some help. You know, friends who are really tell you the truth, but at the same time are not going to lie to you. Because if I had people who lied to me and told me what a great singer I was, you guys would have had to have suffered through a special today. But lucky for you, I know that's not where my talent lies. And nobody's ever told me any different. So, I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about some tricks Satan plays on us. Now, I know that you run into trouble sometimes when you mention Satan in a service and you concentrate a little bit of time on him because people think you're glorifying him. Well, let me tell you right up front, I am not glorifying the devil. I'm not glorifying Satan. But he is our enemy. And we need to know the tricks that he can play on us so that we can come against it. Otherwise, we're just hoodwinked and we just believe whatever he throws our way. So I don't want us to be that uninformed. I want us to know. So one of his big, big tricks is he fills us with a doubt. Satan fills us with a doubt. Did God really say he loved you? Are you really saved? How many of you have heard that? I've heard that at different times in my life. Are you really saved? Because I don't think a saved person would have done just what you just did. You know? He pulls that on us. Does God really love you? If he loved you, this wouldn't be happening to you. Is there really only one way to God through Jesus? Really? I mean, come on. There's got to be a million ways to get to heaven. You know, the enemy pulls all this stuff on us. There is only one way to heaven through Jesus, right? There is. God really does love us. We really are saved when we confess to the Lord. How about, do those people at church really love you? Do they really like you? Maybe you should just stay home. That's a big one. Because then when he gets you out of the house of the Lord and other believers, he picks you off. Just like I'm sure you've all seen those African shows on TV where the animals are all out in the Serengeti and everything, and the lions come and they pick off the ones that, you know, get separated from the pack. Don't get separated from the pack. We need to be together. So there are times when Satan fills our hearts, our minds with doubt. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? He was filling her head with doubt, just like he does us. Secondly, Satan is a liar. Is he not a liar? He will lie to us. He will tell us things that aren't true. He wants us to believe something and act a certain way that we shouldn't because he's a liar. The word says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He wants to make us believe that something we do is okay. I've heard this. Well, it's so, you know, God wants me to be happy, and my wife doesn't make me happy. So it's okay if I go with this woman or whatever, because God wants me to be happy. No, God wants you to be obedient. You know, God wants you to obey him. And God, there's happiness and joy in that. And you know, he just tries to make us think that some things are okay, rationalize things. I was leaving work one day, and I was getting in my car, and I glanced over, and there was a little boy asleep in the back seat of the car sitting next to me. No adult anywhere. Anywhere. He looked like he was maybe 6 or 7. And, you know, the windows were down, but the easier to grab you, you know? I mean, I just sat there and I thought, okay, I'm going to sit here for a minute and watch and make sure this kid's okay. So I sat there and I'm looking to see if somebody's walking from some direction to get in the car. And I waited and nobody came. So I went back into the building and I told the staff at the front desk, I said, there's a kid in this car out here. And I gave him the license plate and the number. And I said, see if you can find this, whoever this is, and let them know they need to come out and get their child out of the car. They said, well, what if they don't want to? I said, well, tell them that your boss is sitting out there beside that car, and she's going to call the police if they don't come and get this child out of the car. So I'm sitting there, and finally this lady comes out, and I mean, she was mad. You know, how dare I stick my nose in her business? You know, people need to learn to mind their own business. She would never hurt her grandson. I thought, that's your grandson, your grandma? You left your grandson in the car? But that shocked me even more than if it's her child, I guess. Because grandmothers baby their grandkids for sure. But I just stood there and she said, I would never do anything to hurt my grandchild. And I thought, yet here we are. You know, I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. And she's just going on. I mean, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. I just stood there and just listened. And she said, well, you can go on now. I'll take him in. You can go on. I'll take care of him. And I thought, she's not going to take him in. And I said, that's okay. I'll just wait till you get in the building. And she was so mad. So she said, I can't believe you said you'd call the police. Anyway, so in her mind, that was okay. To leave her child, her grandchild in the car, that was okay. But if somebody had grabbed that child and taken off with them, you know, and she kept saying, my husband's in the car with him. I'm like, no, there's nobody there unless he's invisible. But, you know, in her mind, it was okay. It was fine. And that's what the devil does to us sometimes. He makes us think that certain behavior is okay. And it's not. We've got to realize that that's not okay. And I will tell you, I even doubted myself butting into somebody else's business. You know, because you think, is this my, you know, but I thought, this is a kid. You know, somebody's got to do it. So I did, but he will make us believe things that are not true. Not only is he a liar, Satan is a thief and a destroyer. He wants to destroy you physically, emotionally, spiritually. He is not your friend. He's not your friend. John 10:10 said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. God wants us to have life, a great life. And the devil does not. He wants to destroy us. I know I've told this story before, but I really struggled with telling it again because, for one thing, you don't want to tell bad stuff on yourself. But I really, even this morning as I was praying about it, felt like I needed to tell this again. Brian and I had a lot of trouble having children. So I had our first son, and I had 4 miscarriages after that. So on the 4th time of being in the doctor's office and hearing the doctor say, I'm sorry, this is not a viable pregnancy, it was pretty devastating. And I was Brian was at work, he wasn't there. And I really honestly just thought, I just want to die. And I just want to die. To the point that when I walked out of the office, there's this road from the hospital physician building to across the street was the parking. But trucks go fast down this road all the time. I have never gone to the office where I didn't have to stop and wait for a truck to pass and a couple of them and then finally go. So I thought, was in the elevator, I thought, you know what? And all these things are playing in my mind. You're a terrible wife. You can't give your husband any more children. You are, you're so obsessed with having another kid. You're not good to the one you have. You're this and you're that. You're a failure. Constantly, constantly, constantly in my head, all the way down to the elevator. You'd be better off dead, you know? And I thought, I'm going to step out in front of a truck. I'm just going to stay. Everybody will think it's an accident. I'm just going to step out in front of this truck because I don't want to live anymore. I get out there, and where's a truck when you need one, right? There's no truck anywhere. I stand there, I'm looking, there's no truck. It's Alabama. It's hot. I'm not going to stand there forever. So I go get in my car, and I sit in the car, and I just bawl. And I'm bawling. I'm like, God, why? Why? And he spoke to my heart, and he said, I gave you Kyle. I gave you your husband. And I start, then my brain switches because my brain was so focused on what I didn't have, what I had lost, that that's all I could see. But when he starts telling me, but you have Brian, you have Kyle, you know, you have family that loves you. And these things, then my focus shifted. And I thought, thank you, Lord. I mean, you protected me. Well, I would have harmed myself because I was so focused on what I didn't have. And the devil would have loved nothing better. I wouldn't have the life I have now had I done that. I wouldn't have my second son had I done that. But the Lord was good to speak to me and to help me in that situation. So enough about what the devil tells us. Those are the things he tells us. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. He wants to kill us. He wants to physically, emotionally, spiritually, all of those things. But what does God say? Let's look at what God says this morning. God says, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Scripture says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Also says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. If you have children, you know that you would do anything for those kids, especially when they're little. When they get to be teenagers sometimes, you know. But when they're little, you would do anything for those, and even when they're teenagers, you would too. But you love those kids so much. Our capacity to love is not as great as God's capacity to love. He loves us more than we could love our kids. Think about that. He loves us so much, and we are called children of God. Isn't that awesome that we are children of God? God also says, I belong to God, and I am loved by God. Scripture says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. These are things we need to believe, and not only believe, we need to memorize. I know when I say the word memorize, some of you just, you know, cringe. You don't have to memorize anything. We've had ladies' Bible studies where I've said, okay, ladies, we're going to memorize some scripture. And they're like, eh. You know, they don't want to memorize it. I'm too old to memorize. That's what I get a lot. But that's not true. It's not true. We can memorize things. And you know what? When the devil comes against you and says, you're no good, you can say, but I've been redeemed. I'm a child of the Lord. You can quote scripture right back, you know, and put him in his place. God says, I am the apple of God's eye. I am the apple of his eye. The apple of God's eye in English, when you say this term in English, it refers to something or someone that one cherishes above everything else. Something that you cherish above everything else. That's the apple of your eye. Now, in the original Hebrew, when you see the apple of the eye, it's really talking about the pupil. And the pupil is what lets the light in to focus on things and for you to be able to see and all of that. The apple of your eye is pretty important, isn't it? If God says you're the apple of his eye, that's important. We are important to him. Scripture says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you It's loving kindness. And then, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. We are so precious to the Lord. We are the apple of his eye. We are also a friend of Jesus. God says, I am a friend of Jesus. No longer do I call you servants, like the servant does not know, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Friends like each other. Friends like to hang out together. Friends like to share secrets with each other. You know what? Friends are good things. Friends you can tell, you know, your struggles to, and they can pray with you and all of that. Friends are good things. Jesus, who died for our sins, is our friend. That's something to celebrate. He is our friend. God also says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Scripture says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. If you read that in the King James Version, that word wonderful are your works is actually marvelous. It's marvelous are your works. And in the Hebrew, it means to be extraordinary. Extraordinary. You're not average, but God's works are extraordinary, and we are his works. So we are extraordinary in turn. God says that we are known by him. I am known by him. He knows us. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, this is God specifically speaking here to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was having a problem too, because he was also listening to the word of the enemy, because he said, but I'm too young. I can't do this. I'm too young. But he wasn't too young. God said, no, you can do it. You just need to be obedient. Don't say you're too young. God told Jeremiah, don't say you're too young. You just do it. So God formed us in the womb, and he knew us. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows how to help us in certain situations. He knows what we need. God also says, I am his workmanship. I am his workmanship. He made me. He loves me. He has given me talents. You know, we sit around and we think about what we would like to be, what we would like to do. You know, I would love to be able to sing, and as I told you earlier, I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I think that God likes it, but you probably wouldn't. So, you see these things, there's just different talents. I'd like to be creative and be able to do different things. That's not my one thing that God's given me to do, and that's okay. There are other things that God has given me that I can do. And those things I try to do, and I try to do well. And I try not to focus in on all the talent somebody else has that, you know, because jealousy is not a good thing. We've just got to realize that we're God's workmanship. The scripture says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That word created in the original Greek means transformed. Transformed. We're totally changed. He can totally change us. And then for all of you who don't believe in tattoos, the next one, my name is engraved on the palm of his hand. He will never forget me. God has a tattoo, and it's got my name written on the palm of his hand. Isaiah 49:15-16 says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, the palms of his hands. Your walls are ever before me, on the palms of his hands. That's pretty important. It's pretty important. I know most people who who have tattoos, usually it's meaningful. It means something, you know, to them. You don't just go say, hey, I think I'll get a, you know, a clown tattooed on my arm or something. I mean, usually it's meaningful, you know. So, God, that we mean something to God. He's got our name engraved in the palm of his hand. So I'm going to ask you this morning, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe today? Are you going to believe the things Satan tells you? You're going to believe the things God tells you. So this is what's going to happen. The devil's going to come against you with stuff, and this is what you're going to say. He's going to tell you, you can't do anything right. And you're going to say, I accepted Christ, didn't I? I did something right, right? When you know, we tell ourselves this all the time and we shouldn't. I'm so stupid. You know, you do something, you go, oh, I'm so stupid. But I have the mind of Christ. According to the Bible, I have the mind of Christ. So when the enemy comes against you telling you that, I have the mind of Christ. When you feel like you're a failure, maybe you can't do it on your own, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. Just got to sit there with the Lord and let him help you. I'm a nobody. Whoa. I'm a friend of Jesus, right? Tell the enemy, I am a friend of Jesus. I am not a nobody. I am Jesus' friend. Sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror and we think, I'm so ugly. People tell themselves that. I'm so ugly. But you know what? No, that's not true. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. There is a good book. If you have a lot of issues, especially in the area of the mind, where the enemy just really throws stuff on you, it's Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer, and it is a really good book. It really helps you, very down to earth. So I just kind of want to throw that out there if you wanted to explore this subject a little bit further. But the thoughts you're thinking line up with what God would say? Do the thoughts you're thinking line up with what God would say? Too many times we don't even pay attention to what we're thinking. I can, you know, be doing something and finally I realize, wait a minute, where did that come from? Why am I thinking that? Sometimes we don't even pay attention. We don't think about what we're thinking about. So we need to pay attention to what we're thinking about. Because would God say, you can't rise above this? Would God say, I'm no good? Would God have you say to yourself, God doesn't love me, I can't do any better, this is just the way I am? No. God does not want you to say those things to yourself at all. God would say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the head and not the tail. You are a child of the King. You are so important, I have you written on the palms of my hands. You are so important to me. You are so important to me that I have the hairs on your head numbered. You are so important to me that I sent my son to die for you. For you and you and you and you and you. Every single one of you. He sent his son to die for you. If you were the only person in the world, he would have sent his son to die for you. You are important. You are important to the Lord. You are important to God. You are important, and we cannot any longer allow the devil to mess with our minds and make us believe that we're not worth something. We've got to stop it. We are worth something. I am a child of the King. I am loved by God. There are times he has blessed me. I don't know why, because he loves me, really. That's why. Did I deserve it? No. But that's okay. He loves me. He loves you. And we cannot any longer let the devil yank us around. We've done it too long as Christians to just let him come and tear us apart when we need to realize that it's lies. It's all lies. And we have bought into the big lie. And we need to turn to him and say, no more. No more. I am not going to believe this anymore. I'm believing the word of the Lord. From this day forward, I will believe the word of the Lord. And the Lord loves me. He loves me. And he loves you. And if we could get that realization into our heart of how much we are loved, oh my goodness, it would transform our lives. if we could just realize that. Our problem is we believe the lie that we're not worthy of anything. And we are. We are. Somebody here this morning feels like you're not worthy, but you are. You are deeply, deeply loved by the Lord. Can everybody just bow your heads right now? Bow your head. I just feel like there's people here this morning who just feel like the enemy is just beating you up. And you just feel like you're not any good. You haven't really come to the realization of how much God loves you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to do anything. I just want to pray for you. Just want to know who you are so I can pray for you. If there's anybody who struggles with that, just raise your hand. Thank you. Oh, Father, we just come before you today, Father. So thankful that you love us. So thankful that you care for us. So thankful that we're the apple of your eye. Father, we have believed a lie for way too long. And I'm going to ask that you forgive us for that. Help us, Father, to concentrate, to focus on your word, on what you say, and take that as the truth every time. Not to let the enemy speak into our hearts and say, oh, is that really true? You really believe that? And we're going to say, yes, we do. Yes, we believe it. Yes, we believe God. And we'll believe God over the enemy every time. Father, strengthen us in your love. Father, I pray that you would help us every day to see ourselves through your eyes, no longer through the eyes of society, no longer through the lives of the eyes of the enemy, but through the eyes of you, Father God. Lord, I pray that you bless every person here, Father, every hand that was raised, Father. Lord, you know their hearts. Father, I pray that you would just help them every day. Let your Holy Spirit just become so real to them, Father, and the voice so strong that you would lead them, Father, in your path and the path that you have for them, because you have great things for us. Your word says, I know the plans I have for you. You have plans for each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to each one to get in step with your plan and no longer the plan of the enemy. Thank you for your word today, Father. I thank you for each and every person here. I pray your blessings would rain down on them, Father. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are glad you are here today. You are dismissed. Have a great, awesome, blessed week.